You are listening to The Three Intuitive Healers with Heather Nicholson, Angela Johnson, and Stephanie Gonzalez. Produced by The Three Intuitive Healers Show. Visit thethreeintuitivehealers.com for articles and podcast shows discussing our personal insights and sharing our experiences with you. It is our belief that every human is an intuitive and every human has the capacity to heal. We'll take you along with us on a journey of self-growth and healing so you too can open your mind, heart, and life to the healing magic within. Thank you for tuning into the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. I'm your host, Heather Nicholson.
Angela Johnson.
I'm Stephanie Gonzalez. I was listening to something about stichomancy is divination of lines. And most specifically, it's getting a book, right? And you're opening it up in order to see what message spirit has for you. And I thought, you know, there's besides oracle cards and tarot cards and what else we use, you can get an answer, you know, all the time.
I tried that. So aren't you talking about like, you know, rubbing back and forth and see what message you get?
No. I just meant like you get a book, right? You get a book and you're like for my questions, maybe my question would be like, you know, what more can I do to continue to heal my ancestral line? And you just open a page. And one, you may want to look at the number of the page to see if the numbers are, you know, important to you. And then you just point to a paragraph and you see, is that spirit resonating with you? Is that a message that, you know, is answering your thing? Yeah, it's called stichomancy and it means divination of lines, but yeah.
Okay. And I thought it was like the scribble on a page. And then,
oh yeah, no. People do the Bible, you know, a lot or what have you, but it is a form of divination.
For me, it works best. Like I only have my tarot reference books. For me, it works best if it's a book of fiction. Like it has nothing to do with that.
Interesting. Really? That's interesting. That is interesting. Isn't that amazing?
You know what's funny is I've done that since I was a child.
Just like innate in you to try it.
Always. Before I even knew about the woo-woo and all that, I would do that. And I still do it. I love that.
You know, my best friend from high school absolutely hates when we use the word woo-woo. She's like, really? I feel like you're so dismissive of how spirituality is.
That's interesting. Well, you know what? Hey, there's always words and phrases that really set us off.
Oh yeah. no person, you know what? From what I learned, no person is ever wrong.
We're just on opposite sides of the circle.
That's right. I'm going to regurgitate so much, Elizabeth. You're going to get sick of me.
that would be fine. Yeah. You know,
that's been really helpful. That image of, so everybody's in a circle and source has created all these different people to have a relationship around this occurrence so that it could learn more. And, you know, she gave the example of she's not racist and her grandmother's racist and all are valid, but they're on opposite sides of the circle. And that's, you know, you're diametrically opposed, but it doesn't mean there's no right or top of the circle or bottom. So I've been using that all day. I'm just like, okay, they're on the other side of the circle. That's fine.
Yeah, that is a big and very, very difficult way for people stuck in, and certainly in the physical, right? And in their anger to see that, because a person may say, well, then you're saying, you know, the racism is okay. And no, you're not saying that. No. You're saying that's their perspective. And you have to look at it's based on, again, their download, their experiences. Right. They think they're a right. Well, I'm not saying they're right. They believe they're a right.
Right.
And you believe you are right. So, right. You're saying it's balanced.
And source gets to learn after itself from that. And then also what she said is that because of how racist my grandma was, it gave birth to a new way of doing things. And my parents are not racist. They're at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. And that I can relate to, not the racism part, but I have parents who are very brilliant at being parents because their parents weren't. And especially in the case of my father, he did a 180 from the example of fatherhood, you know, Mexican, traditional Catholic. And my grandfather, now we know, like PTSD major from the war. So like all this stuff that you didn't work through, right, made for a very difficult father. And my dad went 180 from that. So it's like every burden you're given can actually be a gift for the next generation or for the people who are around you if you use it the right way.
I think that's extremely important. And I was just telling Heather what I had highlighted here that Elizabeth had said was when you work through that trauma and you heal that fear, it's no longer trauma over you. It becomes wisdom. And I just thought that was beautiful. So a case of like your father, you know, that would have been a difficult childhood. Instead of continuing that on, you know, he changed it. So it was wisdom of what he didn't want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it became someone who he wished perhaps would have been his father. He became it.
He became the change he wanted to see.
Right.
And that's, you know, what I always say, when you have pain in your life, use it. If you use it, it becomes wisdom to help somebody else. And it's, I adopted that mentality when I used to use the medicine cards. They had snake medicine, and they talked about how people with snake medicine can take the poisons of the world and, rather than dying from them, transmute them into wisdom. So every snake bite you get is actually a blessing, because you're about to learn how to transmute it into wisdom.
But right, we're all, okay, well, go ahead. Tell us how it worked for you.
Well, so, you know, transmuting all the, when I had like the dark soul of the night attack me on my stairs, you know, when I'm walking down into my room and I get the petechial hemorrhaging across my forehead. So, yeah, I mean, and it just released a lot.
You could have either been a victim of it, but you chose to make it like, how can I use this for my benefit?
Exactly. And then I saw it, you know, I came from gratitude, and that, guess what? I no longer have to deal with this anymore, because I gave it an out and I transmuted it. It's no longer an issue.
What was no longer an issue? Are you open to say that, or was just something you were holding?
I think it was just so much trauma, so much just baggage that I was carrying around that I had been working on.
Gotcha.
I don't think it was just one incident that large. So yeah, it was, I just, whatever needed to be released, and it was big.
Are we talking about the stair incident now, 2 weeks ago?
Okay.
This
a couple
was,
of months ago
was,
when that shadow came down and it was squeezing my head,
the physical,
and I brought it in front of me.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. Because I don't recall there was being hemorrhaging.
There's so much
on this last one. There's a lot of stair issues with you.
Oh, so I took what Elizabeth said. I took what she said, because she said she had chicken pox, and so she learned this way. And
I heard that whole thing. No, well, she went with the shingles. Right?
Yeah, she had shingles.
Yeah.
So I asked about my tailbone, and we're going to see. So I did the healing this morning, and she said it took her 24 hours. So we're going to see how this works. I'm so curious to see what happens.
Because you still have discomfort right now with your tailbone.
But it took her 24 hours to heal it. So, and I did
to hear the physical shingles, right?
Mm-hmm. So I took it for mine and asked what mine was about.
And mine was, so you're asking about what it's about,
right? I did self-inquiry and I asked, what is this about? What was it about? So that I can heal. Cause I know I've been on this journey healing this part of me. So, and I know, like she says, it's like when you pull a weed up and it leaves its roots behind, well, you got to clean the roots out too. So that's what I did. This morning I cleaned the roots out along with my ancestral roots, and then replaced it with love and light. And then let's see what goes. Like, I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. Total experiment.
I'm curious too. And I want to know first, I don't know how to say when I'm being prompted to say, don't make it about your tailbone.
Yes.
Make it about the ancestral stuff.
Exactly.
The tailbone is a symptom, whether or not that goes away in 24 hours.
Yes.
Perhaps maybe just a little, and you guys could probably fill it in a little bit more than me, is to acknowledge who we're talking about. We're talking about Elizabeth Wood.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Who was describing that she, as an adult, had got shingles.
Right.
She knew shingles is a virus from the chickenpox family. And so what she did is she went into the experience of chickenpox, what was going on with her
chickenpox
at that age.
Consciousness.
Okay.
She
during
went
that
into
age.
Chickenpox consciousness. No, right. When she was having the shingles herself, she went into the smallpox consciousness and asked, what is this about? And the consciousness replied to her when she had self-worth issues, I believe it was. And then she went back to the root, and it came out that when she had chickenpox, it caused severe scarring on her. So she started having issues with her looks. Right. And so that's where came, you know, worthiness issues, you know, looking down upon herself. And now here they are popping up. So she went and healed that.
And then she saw the shingles was a gift that it came at this time. Mm-hmm. And had she not explored it, she just would have been suffering in the shingles.
Right. She would have been suffering. She had it for already 3 weeks. And then this came about and it healed within 24 hours, which that's a miracle in itself. Shingles doesn't heal overnight.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really amazing. I can't imagine. I've never thought about if you have an injury or an illness, looking back to a childhood, or not even as a child, but somewhere earlier where something, like you say, the same consciousness would have affected you. What was prompted then that this would come up now?
I've done the same things though, but a little bit differently. It's when in a past podcast, I was talking about shame, and I was prompted by the healer that spiritual teacher I was following at the time says, go to the root of that shame. Go to when you first remember it. So I did. And that was when my mom made me feel bad for telling her I had a vision about some stuff. So that's when the first time I felt ashamed. So I remember the cords being cut while I was driving in the car.
Can you share that? What is that? It'd be painful.
Oh, it was painful because I remember feeling it through my chest and through the back and through my back. Through my spine area. And it was just like somebody sucker punched me in the chest and the back at the same time. And it kind of took my breath away. Mind you, I'm making a left. So driving and this happens. And I was like, whoa. But you know, I used to do that a lot because I know while driving, my mind was busy driving on the road and I could have conversations with my team easily.
You're bypassing the conscious. Like,
yeah.
It's like when you're in the shower. Or the reason why, which Wicca used to use rhyming stuff for spells, because mm-hmm. your conscious mind's all caught up in the rhyme and the real work kind of go unnoticed and unblocked.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I get it. I've had not as physically, Heather gets it all very physical, but I've had some real insights. I will start actually just talking out loud to myself. As if I'm talking to somebody else, and the answers that will come through that I'm needing as I'm driving are stunning, because there is that you're trying to drive safely. So that conscious mind gets out of your way and your subconscious can just sort of blurt out the answer.
And isn't it nice that we have phone capacities in our car? So if we're talking to ourselves using our mouth, that it looks right. Like you're just on the phone, but you're really just you talking to you. Yeah.
It's okay.
Little do they know the discussion going on, or the baby in the back seat no one sees. Interesting. So Heather, again, so to describe it, that pain you felt, you literally felt the cords being cut, and that was the cords attached to what?
Shame.
To shame.
To shame. Because I remember my best friend had asked me to do Reiki and we were walking in a park and I was like, oh my gosh, what if people see me? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to nip this one in the butt because I don't want to feel ashamed. I want to be proud that I can do Reiki wherever I want. So yeah, I was doing self-inquiry. Where was this? When did this first start? And immediately I got a quick vision of, you know, that time with my mom. And I was like, okay, let's go there. That's the first time I remember. So I just kind of relived the vision. And then I accepted both sides. And that's when you guys jumped on me for why was I upset? Why was I upset? Because I did nothing wrong. So, and I had to forgive my mom. So mm-hmm. I forgave myself and my mom. Even though I didn't do anything wrong.
Remember the words that you used to describe the encounter on the stairs. You were like, I thought I was protected. why did this happen? Like, it was very much, you sounded like the young girl. Like, you could just have easily taken everything you were saying right there and been the small child. And that I found fascinating.
It was her language. Yeah. So then you knew she was almost like channeling that other version of herself, that hurting child or scared or shameful, right? And it's interesting, you did the work not only in public, but in the midst of healing someone else, you had that opportunity to work on your own healing.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beauty
two for one it. Right there.
Yeah.
Multitasker you.
Wasn't the I forget her name. She's the Power of Eight lady. She sets up those every week you can get her newsletter, and she'll all around the world, she'll send out this newsletter of the three people everybody's going to work on. And at the certain time for 10 minutes, you send good thoughts, right? And so many people talk about the boomerang effect, that what they're healing in the other person suddenly comes back and is healed in their life. So, which again, Wicca, you know, anything you put out in the world comes back threefold. So
I think that's so important, because I heard a podcast the other day, and they were talking about karma, and they were talking about how their version was that we misuse that word as a form of punishment, right? That you put something out, or whatever you do is going to come back and you're going to get punished for it. And she was trying to explain it as it's just energy returned to you. So when you're giving good, you're getting that back. It's the same flow, just like the law of attraction. And if you're being negative and you're sharing or, you know, whether you're sharing, whether you're giving, whether you're not even aware that you're doing negative things, it's going to circle right back to you. Not as punishment, just as it's that attraction. It's that cycle, right?
Cause and effect.
Exactly. Be a cause and effect. Same thing. And so it reminds us, I think, to constantly be aware and to do with intention. It's hard, obviously, if we get mad or if we get scared, those emotions are going to come out. But certainly it reminds us that at a time where we do have perhaps an argument, or we're offended by someone, to take a moment or three or four, whatever you need, and to understand that sending that person, you know, hateful thoughts or malice is just not going to benefit you in the long run. You know, even if you can't send them love in the moment, perhaps just forgive them, or try to go neutral. Just remember, because it's always about you. You're going to get it back, not in punishment, just in cycle.
That's why, you know, what was it, my aunt? And this is not to slam organized religion, but she happened to be Christian, and they're talking about, you know, spiritual warriors, and we're going to pray that they understand that Jesus is their savior. And I'm like, okay, so what you're doing is you're putting it out there that you want your own belief systems to be challenged to the point where you throw everything you know and love away and you adopt something new, because that's what they were asking and praying hard for other people from other religions. I'm like, maybe what we do is we pray for understanding of other people's perspectives and wisdom and perhaps the great truth. You know, like, let's all discover the great truth. Let's all discover how to compassionately look at each other.
Discernment. Yeah.
Discernment. Because, well, but even a discernment, but also just an understanding of if never the twain shall meet, can we love each other and recognize that? It's a situation, an issue that's being solved from two different sides versus everybody come at it from one angle. It just cracks me up when I hear people praying so hard to convert other people. I'm like, you're praying for your own conversion. It's going to come back. It comes back. So that's what your statement sort of triggered in me.
Absolutely. Right. And that's a perfect case of not understanding or knowing why it is that you're even doing what you're doing. Are you doing it because someone told you this is the way it has to be? Are you doing it because your beliefs are out of fear that if you don't, right? If you don't wish that, then you're going to be the wrong one. But in the end, it, like you say, it circumvents and does not benefit you. If you were to put out, I wish for you love and healing. That's all you need to say. However you find that was on you, but you don't have to force yourself, or we're not forcing you to find it our way.
May you find your true path.
Yeah.
What was it? Bill Maher had some religiosity.
Yeah.
And he went to some small chapel, and the pastor or whatever asked if Bill explained why he was on this trip, and the pastor asked, can I pray for you? And you know, Bill's like, okay. And as the audience member, you're like, oh God, what is he going to say? Mm-hmm. And he did just the loveliest, like, you know, dear Jesus, we ask that this seeker find his truth. Or he didn't even ask that, you know, he go down his path. He just, may you find what you're looking for. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And I've always remembered that. And I've always tried to have that attitude for other people. May you find your path. May you find your truth.
Right. Whatever it is, and accept and allow others to find theirs. You know, that becomes the hardest part to do, right? Because we get excited when we do the work, and we want everyone to experience it too. And it's sometimes can be very easy to say, oh my gosh, Jesus saved my life. I'd like him to save yours, or Reiki, or whatever the modality and the experience is. But it's not for everyone.
No.
Clearly, everyone can find their own way and still have the same happy ending, which is peace and love.
And unity. Not unity meaning lockstep thought, but unity in that we all hold that compassion and love and wisdom for each other. One thing I did want to bring up was the quote that I sent you guys from Ojai, that Pablo Neruda quote. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was so lovely. You can cut all the flowers, but you can't stop spring, or something like that. I butchered it.
Right. How did you take that, Angela,
took it as you can take away all my external clues of abundance, success, good life, but you can't stop my heart from being happy, my heart from singing. Love is still going to be there, because obviously I'm personalizing it because of the year that Chad and I had where his bar was closed down now for a year. Literally a year today. Oh my goodness.
A year today, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
The 15th.
Yeah. And so it's like, you can cut all the flowers, but you can't stop the fact that nature will right itself. Love will win. You will find joy and serenity again. If for my case, if you can just let go of the external will bring joy and happiness again. Nothing lasts forever. But no matter what you're going through, the tides will turn. That's how I took it. How did you take it?
Definitely for me, I saw along the same line as you, Angela, but what comes to mind first, of course, as an avid gardener, two things. One is how... sometimes a gardener will, or a person, anyway, I'm not going to be specific, or it's not judgmental, but I leave a lot of my flowers in the garden, right, to keep their beauty there, right, so that I can go out instead of cutting and taking them away. But in that thought is exactly what that is saying, that thinking that you're taking away the beauty, or you used up that beauty already, that it's going to be gone, is not understanding the ebb and flow of things, right? You can be able to have it and use it and not worry about running out. That's a lack mentality. So I took it as that there's this constant flow of magic coming in. And flowers was a beautiful, for me, it was a beautiful example of it, because sometimes we can love something so much, we don't want to touch it. We don't want to interfere with it because we don't want it to go away. Right. And then you can either smother it to death, or perhaps not appreciate the way it could be appreciated. So I took it that way, and just like, don't look at it as a lack. Immerse yourself in it and know that there's going to be more. Know that it's going to come, you know, come back, and perhaps maybe in a different way. That's how I kind of.
I love that. And you know what you caused me to think of? Like, what if you live in a place where there are no flowers, mm-hmm. spring still comes. Your symbols, what you attach to, you can take them all away. It's still, love is still going to be there. Spring is still going to come. So
that resonates with me, what you
that's
just said.
That's very, very true.
Yeah.
That's
you very, can, very you true. Can take everything away, but yeah, it's still, you're like, you know what? You can take away the houses, the material stuff, and you can still have peace and joy in your heart.
Absolutely.
You know, when I sent that to you guys, I think I have that 5-year diary that I tell you guys about, where the first line's 1 year, then the second. Okay, so I think I sent that to you on the day where 1 year ahead of time, 1 year ago on that day, I'd written in my diary, Chad and I finally gave in to the fear bloom a little and went to Ralph's to stock up. And and everybody was nice there, but we all felt embarrassed because we were putting things like top ramen and a vegetable of every kind into, you know. And a year later, to be checking into Ojai, this gorgeous little hotel that was gifted to us from our boss. Husband's business is still closed, but it's still there. Just how different my days were from 1 year to the next. So
that's wonderful to be able. I love that 5-year diary. First of all, that is amazing because you could see that, and how exciting to think in a year from now what that would be. It just continues, right, to open up and be okay. And even when you look at last year, perhaps like you said, that you had ventured out and there was fear at the time, and really just, you know, maybe a chaos of, wow, this is really happening. You can look back now and see a lot of lessons, I'm sure. And I'm not going to speak for what those lessons are for you, but what do you get from that a year ago with that reading who you were then?
I get that my training really helped. Like I said, I've had no money. I've had, you know, now adding the health issue, because at that time we were like, gosh, if we even breathe on each other, are we going to get this terrible thing? But really going in with kindness, like everybody in that realm was so kind to each other and patient. And now a year later, it's very, you know, it's a lot of it's the same, but a lot of it, I'll tell you, I haven't changed so much internally how I process things, but how I'm a wife. Because really helping someone who, like, his business is shut down, I can't change that. I can work more hours at my work, but ultimately I can't solve it for him. And I really learned how to hold space this year and not check out, but also not take on all that pain. There were times during the year where I took on the pain as if it was my own, and now I'm not helping because now we're both depleted and exhausted and both limping, you know. So that's, I think, what I learned the most is how to hold space, when to give, when to take, when to, you know, how to read the room. That's what I did.
That's amazing. You've been through so much. Isn't that just, you just marvel and say, wow, are you proud of yourself? Are you shocked by yourself? Are you not? You're like, I know this of me, that I'll get through anything.
I'm proud of myself. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm proud of myself and how I'm able to be there for Chad. And I'm proud of Chad. He's really just like every core fear, you know, other than, well, not every, I shouldn't say, financial fears have come to a head this year. And he's handling it with such grace. And there are times where it's too much and he breaks down and then he gets right back up. And so that urge that you want to just like do it for them because you love them. You don't want to see your loved ones hurt. So you're just like, bring it on. Really standing back and getting that as the observer, as the one who holds the space. What does that mean? That was a really cool lesson. I don't need to go through it again. If the universe is listening, I'm fine with that 1-year curriculum. But it was neat to see, and here's the thing. It really highlighted how impactful our energy is, whether we're on Zoom or walk into a room, really noticing other people's energy and how mine can either help or detract from what's going on. Because everybody's going through something these days. Nobody's just sort of like checked out right now. So that was a really cool thing to realize just how impactful my energetic fields are on other people's energetic fields and vice versa. That was really highlighted for me this year. I don't know if you guys had that experience.
Yeah, I was gonna, and let's see what Heather's perspective is on that too, because certainly all three of us had different experiences, or maybe not, which is interesting. I say maybe not because this is interesting with you. So you certainly were impacted because your husband's livelihood and his career and your financial stability was affected from day one. Even as we speak right now. But so you were impacted, you know, as a couple, but he was taken on a whole different experience, right? Because it was his. It's all he's ever, you know, I can't speak for him, but it's his experience. So like you're saying, you held space and you observed. So I certainly was an observer in this and the people around me, and seeing, you know, friends like you and the different stresses people had. So I really resonate with what you're saying, is putting out that energy for the whole. I learned great compassion this year. There's a lot of things I assumed or never even thought about before, or took for granted. And I learned through the eyes of others, certainly not the way they've experienced, but just been able to appreciate what I have and to appreciate the hardships that other people have, and that just wishing things and thinking things and believing in magic is not the answer for everyone. And there's a lot of pain, you know, that people have gone through. So how about you, Heather? Do you think you were more an observer, or were you greatly impacted as like we were talking about with Chad? How did you go through it? What do you think?
No, I was an observer, but just remember holding a space. That kind of shocked me. I wasn't afraid. And before, several years before, I would have been the one like Chicken Little running around like, oh my God, I can't believe it. We're all going to get it. We're all going to die. And to be right now, just holding a space, saying, I'm here for you. Let me try to help you as much as possible. Let's see what we can do together. And just kind of co-creating a space with people. And finding out I'm more resilient than I thought I was.
How?
You know, hearing people when I tell them what I've been up to, whether it's, you know, starting a Reiki clinic or starting a podcast with people or building websites and also doing my other job of, you know, sales and marketing. They're just like, I feel so lazy. And I was just like, why? I was like, I couldn't comprehend. They're like, you've been so busy while, you know, everybody's not been doing anything. And I was just like, well, what do you mean? I could not comprehend. And so, and
it, you were in flow.
Yeah.
You were loving it.
I was loving it. Yeah. So it was just, it just kind of surprised me. I was like, yeah, I've been doing a lot. I didn't even realize it. But yeah, just, I remember my mom thanking me for actually holding a space, because she would have been freaking out.
Oh.
Yeah. And just, you know, just making sure that I'm there for people who need to talk, and trying not to put my ideas on them.
Do you both ladies think that Reiki was a big factor in how you moved through it? Did it affect your faith, or did it affect your magic or anything? Heather says, no, not, it
not,
wasn't that.
Not Reiki itself.
It was a different, your spiritual work, or
I
your internal work.
So much over the year, over this year, like mm-hmm. spiritually and internally, it just, how do I even describe what happened? You know what I mean? I went from the bag of cats to finally holding a space of quietness. That's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge, even to do in 1 year. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't, sorry. There went the thought. That's all, folks.
would you, like you say, you can't really sum up the whole year, but I guess what I'm looking at is, who did you lean on most? You know, if it wasn't Reiki, was it your spirit team? Was it just you working with yourself? Was it, okay.
Just okay. trying to find the right wording mm-hmm. to find myself, if that makes sense. Trying to go within and trying to find what feels right. And then, just trying to find the truth of who I am. Mm-hmm. A lot of self-inquiry. That was a big one. Huge amounts of self-inquiry and being very persistent about it.
How about you, Angela? What would you say? Who did you lean on?
I'm Heather. A lot. Sometimes the poor woman just had to sit on the phone or the Zoom while I just like stared blankly and just basically said nothing. But, you know, Heather would hold space.
Was there, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So yes, definitely that. And my husband, like I said, it's been a real year of, I mean, I'm the breadwinner now. That was for him to be like, okay,
rely on you, put his his faith in you and his trust in you to get to get you both by. Wow, that's amazing.
So it was a lot of that, but I think very similar to Heather, it was a lot of self-inquiry. It was a lot of refining how, like I said, I have been bankrupt and lost all my money before, but this was different when the entire world feels like it's going with you. So there's no, like, nobody has that lifeboat. Nobody has the, you know, how do you feel when you're caught up in the hurricane and how do you get to the eye of it? Because we each contain the eye of the hurricane, right? And just doing that again and again and again, it's been a really cool year. Again, it's been a hard year, but it's been a really neat year to see how the energy that I lay down today, it's like what you were saying when we were talking about karma. There were some days where I just think, okay, maybe the only thing I can do is try to put as much goodwill out into my day and think of it as paving the way so that I have a smoother 1 month from now. You know, next month may be smoother if I can hold the space and stay in love for no other reason other than April 15th, I'd like to feel the love coming back. You know what I mean? So it was a neat year to experiment with energy and thought form and how it manifests in the world and how I can hold my own. When I have my little Zoom tarot sessions with my little groups, I always set a circle and I always say, feel that energy that's between us right now. This energy is just as valid as the energy that's on the outside of the circle. Even if it doesn't really resonate with what's going on in the world, it's just as valid. And really holding on to that and setting my own circle and setting my own little realities, not putting my head in the sand, but deciding how I'm going to feel about everything. What about you, Stephanie?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just want to say I like that paving the way. I think that's beautiful. It would be akin to, again, planting seeds in order to reap, right? That which you sow later. So I love that, to think about every day what you're putting out. You're just hope, you know, in anticipation and in faith that faith, tomorrow, right? Faith. Yeah. I like that's really big. I was thinking about how both you explained it, and certainly I understand very much, and there's some probably the same thought process, but if I had to put it into words, what came to mind is I think how I got through and how I healed and grew this year was because I think probably for the first time really, I depended on and I actually opened the relationship with my soul in a way that I hadn't had before. So, and that's not to say the external, my family, my friends, you both in the support that I've got from this podcast, that's not to be ignored. It was huge, certainly in my my physical self and my mindset and as I expanded because of you all and them all. But the real trust that I put in the divine, the real faith I put into magic, and in nature was really a tipping point for me, because if I were to sum it up one word, I would say it was the unseen that got me through. Oh. And that channeled me in directions and in
that's a huge growth for you, process. Stephanie.
It really is. Because Heather for sure knows, because I constantly was always looking for validation in the next teacher, you know, and the next guru, what have you. And that's not to say I didn't look for that all throughout the way, but as I continue to do that, I was continuing to trusting, and I didn't know that until really just recently, who I was really trusting, who I was really getting the information from, until really just like recently that I just said, wow, you know, here we went. And it's because, again, I gave that trust. And it was the discussions like we had here, listening to you all, how you saw things. So it's a big deal. And it's so interesting because at this point I am taking a class, and it's called Discovering the Soul. And this is how I came to find out, because as we've been doing the work, I've realized how, like, this whole time I've had this relationship of the unseen this whole year, but I wasn't acknowledging it as the unseen and as my soul. Mm-hmm. And when I finally just merged it and gave it a acknowledgement, then it was like, oh. And again, the soul, whether you call it your higher, whatever word you want to use for anyone, there is no right or wrong word. But right. I like to just say the unseen, because for me, that's the core of the spiritual connection there. So yeah, it's been pretty magnificent, really.
Sounds like you got on the beach cruiser, Stephanie.
Ah, no, I took off the training wheels. I was already on it.
Remember, no, you were walking Angela the beach said? Cruiser. You weren't even on it.
Oh, you guys are horrible. I was pushing it downhill, right?
You know what's funny is I think, isn't it astrologically, it's the end of the astrological year. I feel like we're doing a year review.
Like it, I guess because kind of physically, like it, right? Yeah. We're coming upon a year of the lockdown, so I think yeah. that's you know the physical part of it. But yeah, astrologically, we might be closing,
and something. We're also closing a 12,000 year. And, we're 12. Mm-hmm. We're closing a 12,000 year
cycle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we are. Done. Yeah, and now is supposed to take on the. It's the dawning of the age of the Aquarius. If you still want to use that, yep.
Yeah.
So and now we're in Aquarius. Amazing? Yeah.
And don't you feel more capable, more ready, perhaps a little more rested? And I certainly feel less fearful of what lies ahead. More and more, I'm finding still. Peace. Yes. Yeah. It's just okay with it. And I used to use the word numb. I don't use that anymore. I used to, because it was easier to say, I wish I was numb to things. So I didn't have to get a rise, you know, of scared or, yeah. or worry. So I felt like if I didn't feel anything, that would be just a good place to be without judgment. But now I no longer have to call it numb because I'm okay to recognize it, but I'm okay to feel peace with it.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal because I'm no longer hiding from it.
It's a bathroom dream.
It is. It, yeah. it really is, right? I mean, no chipping away. Yourself. Yes. Yeah. It comes back to that same language. No longer hiding from it.
I love that.
I'm okay with seeing it for what it is. And the perspectives change for what it is. It's nothing shameful, nothing ugly, nothing wrong.
No.
Nothing to have guilt over. It just is. It just is. And it can be loved, you know, the dark can be loved just like the light.
That's something I was learning and learning. You know, when I talked, what was it last week about the client who was just being a little unbearable and how I was having the physical reaction, the emotions, but at the same time could step to the side and observe it and be neutral and, you know, eventually got my foot out of the energetic mud where it was stuck and could stand over in the soul side. But in a very loving, whereas before I would have kind of beaten myself up. Now it's like, no, I'm human. And that emotion, that frustration was me saying, hey, there are some boundary issues here that need to be addressed. And this is a real learning moment. If you just can get out of the anger part of it, the frustration part of it, it's done its job. Now let go of those emotions and go over to the soul side and be observing. Like all of that was a really neat thing to go through. Very quickly was a really neat thing to go through. Even while I was still feeling the emotions, I was grateful because I was like, oh, okay, we're in it. This is a little test here. And I'm going to do this. I can tell. That was really neat. Whereas a while ago, I might not have recovered so quickly.
I think it's, to me, it's like akin to being having an astral projection, right? And you've mentioned it before where you literally say, I'm outside of my body seeing it. And maybe you're not fully literally having that. I'm floating at the top of the ceiling, but you're recognizing that this is going on in the physical, but my true self, my loving self, my soul is just no longer attached to that emotion or that outcome or that ego. And I think we're starting to see more and more of that.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I am for sure.
When it's like you just pulled something up for me, it's like when I was stepping in the dream when I was upset with her, and then I was stepping out of the dream. It's like, you know, when you remember a dream and you still get emotional, then you step out. I was literally
duality, right?
Back and forth. Yeah. While I was sitting at my desk, I was in it, and then I was stepping to the side of it where it's like I'm watching somebody else get frustrated to the point of tears. I'm watching that, but it's me. It was really cool.
Interesting.
Heather, do you have that very often? Or I mean, certainly you've had that, but as of late, do Do you find, okay, so here's a question. If we, as we continue to heal these emotions and these hurts, do you think we have those less because we're not reacting on that ego side, so that you're not getting mad at someone, so that you don't need to separate? You're just coming from that soul place, that compassionate place.
I think so. I am more, I'd say when I listen to people talk, there is no dialogue going on. There's no words going on in my head as they're talking. You know how you think you're thinking when the other person's talking? And that's recently, within the last few weeks, it there's no comment. There is no words. Like, I'm just taking in your information and then that's it. It's really a trip. And then I have to think about what was said, and then how do I feel about that? And I have to come from the heart center instead of the egoic mind it's really interesting.
Silencing the ego. I think that's huge.
I don't
can't
think
say I do that all the time. The no, you don't think it's not
I don't
silence
think it,
if you're
I think
you're not,
you'll always have your ego. It's just how you work with your ego.
But if
you will
it's not
see,
talking, isn't it quiet?
So your ego's not talking. Your ego is there, but it's like the child is silent. It's still there. It's just the child is not heard right now. You know what I mean? How do I explain that?
Well, I think if you didn't have ego,
you wouldn't have duality.
You would be, and for those of you listening at home,
tell them what you just did.
Yeah. I basically just made a face.
Expanded.
Implying, you know, that you wouldn't have that sense, like I think Heather just said, duality. You know, there would be no you, there would be no me, there's no ego, we're all one.
It's not, you're
right?
Not earthbound, really, right? Right. You wouldn't have any identification as Angela.
Yeah.
It would just amass into the whole.
Right.
Right. Ego keeps you in the recognizable identity as Angela, plus then your soul as who you really are, right?
Or, well, your ego is, mm-hmm. as I'm learning from Elizabeth Wood, is subjugation. In spirit form, or your soul, or your higher self, your higher consciousness, whatever you want to label it, is, what did she call it, Angela?
I don't think the other one was subjugation. I don't think that's the word.
Not subjugation. No, sorry. It was observation and
subjective and objective.
That's it. So your ego is subjective, and your soul self is objective. And that's all it is.
No, we got that one. Subjective. I think we got this.
You guys making up.
It's not that I disagree with you. It's I think we're using the wrong term. I don't remember. I think we're wrong on the objective, I think.
Do you, this is kind of, it's related to talking to the soul, but it's kind of off because I just want to see how you stand on this. Do you both consider that, animals have souls? Can you agree on that? Or
yes.
Do you have a perspective? Flowers, trees, rocks have souls?
In a different way. Because
okay.
I think maybe I'm separating soul from consciousness, maybe.
Okay. Which is fine, however you interpret it. And then the earth, the universe, does that have a consciousness or a soul?
Gaia has a consciousness and a soul.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think so. Do trees have a consciousness? I don't know about a soul, but it has a consciousness.
Yeah, I think, because so I'm saying the soul is the divine spark, right, within me. Well, everything is made of me.
Exactly.
So does everything have a soul?
That's where I go. I just go,
right?
With yes, because I just can't imagine. You do, you don't, you do, you don't.
Exactly.
You get a soul and you get a soul.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Absolutely.
With that.
Right. So, and it's easy for me to do in nature, but then when we come down to, say, a pen, okay, it's man-made.
That's
it's
the divine
fabricated,
too.
But I agree, right? Because the materials were created through us, which is a divine act, which
we're
is
all
divine
particles.
Material,
right?
Right? So exactly. So I feel like everything does.
I
know? Do. It's just, and when I think of that way, and then I feel like I can communicate with everything. And then it just
I'm
becomes.
I'm so glad,
right?
I'm not the only one. You talk to yourself about it too.
Hello, pen. Thank you for, well, you know what? Here's a perfect example of what, how I do that all the time. I talk to my car daily. Yeah. I say hello to my cars when I go in the garage. I thank my car like today for a safe ride, you know, to the market and back. I talk to my car always because I believe that there's a relationship in it feeling it has a purpose to keep me safe and in me showing gratitude that, you know, we are one and I appreciate it. So, yeah, I guess I've been doing it for a long time. I've never thought of it as having a soul, but I've always thought of it as having a relationship it, with
has
me.
Energy.
It's energy. It's and energy. It carries exactly. energy. It's alive.
Absolutely. And I've seen it. So when cars drive by and I'm staring off in the distance, I can tell each car that has dense energy and lower vibrational energy. And it's a trip because it jets out the back as dense and dark, or it jets out the back as light and airy. And it looks like a tear in the fabric as it drives by.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the very first time I talked to something, I was in a tree. That's where I go. I was a little girl in Kentucky. I was in my front yard and I loved to climb this tree. So I climbed up the tree. It must have been 9. And there was a family walking along, going on a walk. And this little boy picked up a stick and hit a sign. Our neighbor was moving, so they had a for sale sign. And all of a sudden I looked at the sign and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm okay. And then I said it to the stick and I remember thinking, that's odd. And I've done it ever since. They were real. And I was like, that was the very first time all of a sudden something clicked in me and I was like, everything is real.
Everything is great. Isn't that wonderful? That's beautiful.
I talk to my windshield all the time.
Your windshield? Why the windshield? That's interesting. Why? Because it's your view? Why? Tell us. That's
why? One. You don't get it, Stephanie.
Well, because she's cussing out.
No, that very used to be.
See how I'm all compassionate. Yeah.
What? She's like, why? What did you say?
Who are driving?
I don't understand that language, Heather.
I used to be like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. But Heather, I've seen, well, Heather was doing it because in another form, when you were, and you maybe still do it, but when you would Reiki your food, you know, and of course, a person that blesses their food, you know, even though you're giving gratitude, you are thanking the food, you are thanking the opportunity. That's a relationship. You're saying it has a purpose, right? And you're giving gratitude to it. You're giving energy to it.
You know, yeah, you're giving energy. What I'm doing, I've been doing recently has really worked for me. So Amu Jam Rose, said, set your intention into a pinch of sea salt and then sprinkle it into your water. So I've been doing that. And holy moly, it's working. Inquiry-wise, whatever you want to set your intention. Uh-huh. So recently it's been, I take the pinch of salt, I look at it and I say, what do I say? My intention is to have a deeper understanding of the truth of who I am, or a healthier, leaner body. Mm-hmm. And then I sprinkle it into my water and I let it be. And I just kind of, I don't drain the water fully out. I just keep on refreshing it with fresh water. So the salt crystals maintain the intention. So, and sure enough, Angela winds up sending me Elizabeth Woods. And I love that she's both scientific and a little bit of the spiritual. So, and I totally vibe on her level because I love the scientific mind that she's incorporated together and I get it. And it's putting me on a trajectory of getting to know myself even more just because she was on John Burgos' channel recently within last week. And it blew my mind. I mean, it blew my mind so much that I went and bought the special offer she was offering on there. And it even more, it's just like, holy cow, like there's so much I can learn. There's new healing techniques on there and I'm going for it and let's do this.
I love that because I love anything that's spell casting. And I'm starting to, as I read more and listen to these podcasts, how it's so amazing how so much what we do in our life is spellcasting, right? And but it's called something else. And yeah. I remember the first time
mantras.
The first time that I took it was a fire class, and she talked about when we light the candles on a birthday candle on a birthday cake, and we make a wish and blow it out. That's a spell, you know. Mm-hmm. And so then she took it to one extreme level and just said every time she lights a match or lights anything, her candle in her room, she always sets an intention. And so it's the same thing as you, Heather. Once you put that intention, you're creating that magic in there. So
yeah,
since I love that, I will put the sea salt in there because I love an extra way of connecting and creating. And I think it's beautiful.
I did that after she told me about it. And it is a neat moment of intention. Mm-hmm. And then every time, because I do try to drink a lot of water throughout the day, it really makes that act all of a sudden becomes far more intentional.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's ritualistic, really, which I like. It's magic. It's mindful. It's wisdom. It's healing. It's everything. How exciting. Well, hopefully we can let the listeners, you know, add sea salts. And I probably, it could be anything you wanted. If you're
sprinkle it on your food.
Absolutely. In every which way, but be mindful and create your intention.
Mm-hmm. That's we are lovely. Creator gods. So
yes, we are.
Well, ladies, I think that's all the time that we have today. We'd like to thank the listeners for tuning in. We hope you're able to find the healing magic within.
Thank you for listening to us on the Three Intuitive Healers podcast show. Remember, when we open ourselves to healing, we positively affect our environment. This podcast represents the opinion of the Three Intuitive Healers and their guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical or psychological advice and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Each person is unique, so please consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Views and opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not represent that of our places of work. While we make every effort to ensure that the information we share is accurate, no guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made in this podcast.